Welcome to One Decent Pastor, a weekly podcast of The Door located in Central Oregon, where three completely average guys join forces to make one decent pastor and to discuss, discover, and promote all things Bible.
And we're live.
Hey.
We're just talking about
top of the morning to you, fellas. Feeling chipper.
We've been sitting here so dead quiet.
Yeah, I could
take... the camera comes on. It's like, hey. Yeah.
I feel like I could take a nap right now. That's not good.
It's not good.
Not a good way to start the day.
We're talking about how much you like Red Bulls. I don't know why you don't have one right now. So
I think they're gross.
I concur.
You think they're medicinal.
They all have a weird cough syrupy, gross syrupy. No. I can't even explain it. Like fake cherry flavor or... They all have that same thing that's just gross. Plus, I don't...
Do you remember when you were a kid? You were actually older than us as kids, but...
Yeah.
The really big chewable...
What you're saying is we weren't kids at the same time. Is that what you're saying?
We weren't kids at the same time, but if we were, do you remember the really big chewable vitamin Cs that your mom used to give you?
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of what Red Bull tastes like, which is good. Not bad.
Fake flavor.
No, it's real citrus. And it just feels healthy. Yeah.
You're talking about those big orange, like
just like the Flintstone
pills.
Vitamins, dude. Those are real. Those are real flavors.
Yeah. Chalky and weird.
It's so good, dude. Yeah. Flintstone vitamins are so good.
I've never understood energy drinks. I never will. I do drink coffee, but
they make me feel like caca, which is why I don't drink them.
Right.
Yeah. It's because like I start coming down before I even go up. Hmm. Does that make sense? Before I'm even done with the can, I'm already feel like I'm crashing, like I need a nap. So I just don't drink.
What you need is another can at that point.
Yeah, just two-hander.
Yeah.
Two-timer.
Yeah. I actually don't mind the taste of the Blue Monster, but in general, I don't like energy drinks and same. I don't like the way they make
it feel.
That's
the sugar-free one,
but the blue one. The Blue Monster, like it's not as medicine-y.
It's pretty good, but it's just so sweet. Like I'm not a soda guy or a sweet drink guy, and they're just so sweet.
Yeah.
Where Red Bull actually is a little different.
And it's satanic.
They're all satanic, Brent. If you look close and if you squint your eyes and stare at it long enough, you will find something.
I meant the commercials. They have that little devil.
Red Bull has wings?
Yeah, he's a little devil guy.
No, I thought Monster's the most, dude. That's like in Hebrew, like 666, the little mark on the can.
You never heard
that whole thing?
No,
oh, my goodness. Oh, the Christians had a heyday.
I'm out then.
The Christians had a heyday with Monsters, dude, when they got real big with the kiddos. Wow. They were like, you guys are just ingesting Satan right now.
Wow. Just stick to water, I guess. I'm made by God. It's great.
Coffee. Where's your water at?
It's over here on the floor because I don't want to clutter up the table.
You don't want to clutter? I know. It would be so cluttered if you kept it up here where you could actually reach it.
If we just had one more water, it would look terrible.
Hey, chime in on the comments. Talk about how trashy all their stuff on the table
looks.
Keep it clean, man.
The day that you hurt your back just because of that one little thing. you're not getting my sympathy, bro.
Fair enough.
Like putting on a sock.
One of the reasons we need a table is somewhere to put our drinks.
You'll have brought it upon yourself.
It looks trashy. Don't like it. Sorry.
Maybe you look trashy.
Sorry, not sorry. Let's get to some.
What do you mean? You just want a breakfast burrito?
Well, that does sound good.
It does.
Welcome back, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to point out the band is back together this week.
Yeah, the band is back together.
Part of David is being played by David again. So
yeah,
it is. Yeah. It's part David, part Morrissey. Speaking of Morrissey.
Speaking of Red Bull demons.
So what we're going to talk about today is Russell Brand getting baptized.
Wow. I don't know a whole lot about it other than I saw he was getting baptized.
No, I mean, there's cause to be skeptical just like there is every time a big name comes to Jesus.
Well, he also just got accused of a lot of stuff.
Right.
And then...
Well, he's had a come to Jesus moment.
It could be. It could be real.
Yeah.
You hope it's real.
A pre-jailhouse conversion.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about MacArthur's statements on mentally ill people.
Wow, you're fired up, man.
There's so many things in the Christian world that we need to talk about a little bit.
That might be a podcast on its own, but
Yeah.
I actually watched the whole video. I found the whole video.
Oh, you did?
I watched it. The whole video wasn't about that. That was only a segment of the whole thing.
But did anything around the did the context of the whole video help what he said?
Okay. No, it was a bunch of
random. So he should retire.
Like they were interviewing, this guy was interviewing MacArthur and Costihan and a couple other guys whose names I wasn't familiar with.
Okay.
About a bunch of random things. And so that piece of it was like the last 7 minutes of this 40-minute
video. So on the clip I saw, you could see Costi sitting next to him in the frame, and I'm watching like Costi Hinn's face as John's saying what he's saying, and Costi looked like
wasn't having it,
like Brynn on stage, like he wanted to crawl into
rocking,
a hole.
Yes, and
forth. He just put his head down and started rocking back and forth.
For those who didn't see the clip, John,
are you talking about the MacArthur clip or the clip of you rocking back and forth?
I was hidden behind the pulpit.
That clip does exist too, I think.
No, I think I was hidden behind the pulpit. I don't think anybody.
If it exists, I need to find it.
It does not. Don't look. The MacArthur clip. He made some very definite, exclusively like no room to about mental illness and PTSD and basically pharma and people who take drugs and that kind of thing. I think he had a point to make that we rely on these things too much and that there is money to be made and we need to be skeptical, but he just came down with these really absolute statements.
But isn't that were just like him?
It is.
Like, it's not that he doesn't ever have anything good to say or that there's even any truth involved in the things he says. It's that he's so uncharitable and black and white. He doesn't nuance a lot.
No nuance. Yeah.
I would say wisdom, like where there's wisdom and rightly dividing issues and subjects. Yeah. He's just boom.
Yeah, to say PTSD is not a real thing. It's like it's a pretty real thing for
it's
people that
real.
Have probably gone through things.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't know anything about it because he hasn't had to relate to it, but it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watching the whole context of it didn't help a whole lot.
Yeah. He should probably pass off his pulpit at this point. So I mean, maybe a while back. Who's in the wings? Phil Johnson? Is it Phil Johnson's going to come in?
I don't know. He's having some health problems, so who knows?
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's not talk about either of those things.
Okay.
We'll talk about Russell Brand next week.
No, thank you.
You don't want to?
I don't know. I don't know much about him.
Do you think you could do an impersonation of his?
I'd never really followed
that
him.
That dude's weird.
Yeah, that's that part.
That's about as much as I know.
Yeah. No, the dude.
I've never watched one of his movies. I don't
know. He's an odd dude.
Yeah, he is. And he's always been vile. That's the thing, is like odd, vile, right?
Yeah, I knew that about
him. And even annoying, like kind of high-strung. Like, but if you actually listen to like some of what he says, like this dude's actually a brilliant mind. Yeah, crazy.
So on a positive note, Chris Comp says, hey from Romania.
Hey Whoa. From...
So I don't know what time it is in Romania, but he might be watching us in the wee hours of the night.
Hello, sir.
We miss you. Hope you're having a good time.
I thought he was supposed to be coming over soon.
He said
are you coming back soon, dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's probably got a direct flight from Romania to here.
Yeah.
Probably just come right here.
Are we ready?
Yes.
All right. Does this look too cluttered?
Just the water bottle. Everything else looks good.
came across, on accident, happenstance, a pretty cool sermon about a week ago, that... I thought, gosh, I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon like that because of the text that it came out of. It's kind of one of those subjects or things that we don't really talk about or preach about too much in the church. And so I thought we would today.
Yeah.
And then you guys went and saw it and thought the same thing, that it was interesting. Yeah. It comes from, at least the text that this got, actually, it's Francis Chan. I'm going to say it. So you can go ahead and cancel us now.
Dun, dun.
You can undo the bell, undo the subscription. It was Chan. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right.
Well, can I say something
about that? Yes, go ahead.
people have been saying Francis
Chan. You going to clean this up a little bit?
Probably not. But there's definitely like not a perfect man. You know, we get that. But people for years now have been saying that he's compromised, that he's woke, that he's done saying. And I hear a lot of these things being said about him.
Well, and you can see why people say that because of the conferences he goes to and the people that he locks arms with.
Yeah, he's gone to conferences with groups that we would steer clear of completely.
Catholics, even prosperity preachers.
Yeah, I was thinking more of the NAR guys.
Yeah, dude,
right.
But he goes because he says they invited me and I get to go and talk about the gospel there. So maybe he can do some good.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the point. If you hear something bad about somebody, don't listen to the rhetoric around them. Yeah. Listen to what they have to say.
Go watch a sermon.
So, for instance, go watch this one. It's called something about the power of a quiet life, I think is what it's called by Francis Chan. Listen to it. You might not like his delivery. You might not like his style, whatever. But listen to the content.
When he goes like this.
He does get,
that's annoying.
He does get a little.
But it's Francis.
I have not heard any content come out of his mouth that didn't make much of Christ and make much of his work.
Or that's even like heretical or false teaching.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Maybe it does.
Maybe it's somewhere.
Maybe somebody could correct us, but I haven't seen it. And I see this being done, you know, with a lot of guys that we like. I've heard it with Piper. I've heard it with Keller.
Yeah.
But when I just listen to what they're saying,
right,
it's like I'm just hearing them make much of Christ.
Totally.
And I'm not hearing, you know, what they're being accused of isn't always reliable. So just do some homework.
I really appreciate how, and again, this isn't to elevate him or, you know, whatever. Like, go do your due diligence, like Brent just said. But I think part of the persecution he's received from inside the church is because he's not allowed himself to be bound to categories anymore inside the church. He's literally like cast that off. I think it started when he left his church and like disappeared from the spotlight.
Walked away from fame and fortune. And
I think this dude is like calculated and intentional about what we see of him now, not really being here or there. Like, the dude's actually trying to live what he believes is a biblical conviction of a Christian life and minister. So that's my opinion. Doesn't mean he's perfect, you know.
Also, real quick, when you're listening to try to find out about these people, don't just listen to a soundbite. If you take one soundbite out of anything, you can come up with all kinds of ideas.
Totally.
And so listen, if you're going to, before you just, you know, say this guy's a woke heretic or whatever, listen to a few sermons.
You wish
from start
to say
finish.
The name today, don't you? We wouldn't have to do any
I'm fine with you saying this name.
Okay.
I mean, again, every time I've heard Chan, it's kind of pushed me towards the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I walk away worshiping God and feeling like, you know, wow, he really inspired me to be a better Christian or to love Jesus more.
They're actually some of the more powerful sermons that I hear from all the guys that I listen to.
Right.
But,
and again, if I heard him say something that was off,
totally.
We're not like
a ball and a strike.
Yeah,
a strike.
We're not fanboys, but I don't think the woke label is super.
Totally.
Again, I don't even know what woke means.
People
half time
give him
anymore.
A rough shake unfairly.
Yeah. Well, he springboarded off of a verse. I'm going to read a few verses around it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting in verse 9, Paul says, "Now concerning brotherly love," speaking to the Thessalonians, "you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, for that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on nobody." The verse that he focused on, which is where he got the title from his sermon, was aspire to live quietly, or quiet lives, right? And that's what caught my interest and caused me to actually click on the sermon and watch it, was living a quiet life.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear this a lot. It's not something that seems to be taught heavily from our pulpits. And it just kind of hides
on a t-shirt.
Yeah, you're not going to put it on a t-shirt. You might be called woke if you actually push a verse like this too much or preach on it too much, as far as, you know, a woke Christian. But it's an interesting, intriguing verse to talk about, and so let's start with what we think Paul is getting at here by even mentioning such a thing that we have. First of all, what does aspire mean?
I think another translation says make it your ambition.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Ambition. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life.
Which is pretty strong.
And to mind your own business.
Yeah.
and to work with your hands,
men. There is a translation that says that.
Yeah.
And it's like we're living in a time when
we're up in each other's grill.
Yeah, you've got kind of the Karen thing going on where everybody wants to, like, well, it's a real thing, you know. You got these, like, self-appointed hall monitors that are walking around trying to tell everybody how they should do things and what they should and shouldn't do.
Yes.
You've got, you know, the whole idea of these influencers. I mean, this is something he brings out in the video, that the young people today feel like they have to have followers and a platform and they've got something important to say.
Yeah.
And it's like,
ring the bell, hit subscribe.
When I was 20, I didn't have a lot of important things to say. I would say I wasn't adding a lot to society. I thought I was pretty smart. I thought I had a lot to say. But when, you know, in hindsight, I don't know if we really have a lot to say at that age. I'm not saying you can't learn from people that are young. You can.
Right.
But this idea that everybody has to tap into my wisdom
and
hear what I have to say, it's like, I don't know.
Maybe. So one of the things that I like about the more recent generations is they have an angst. There's kind of a revolutionary spirit where they don't want to sit around and talk about something. They want to see something happen. They want to be a part of a movement and saying something that can be good.
It is.
It's also a problem though.
Right.
Yeah. And the platforms that we live our lives in and through now with social media and everything 24/7 has really brought out the worst in even the church and Absolutely. Christians that have that same need to be heard.
Right.
Right. Right.
I haven't seen it for a while, but for a time there was this thing came up in my feed, this graphic, and maybe you guys saw it, that said, obey God and defy tyrants.
No, dude. It's,
like that was the job of the Christian to be loud and not live a quiet life and to be out there on the forefront of society, you know, cutting down the bad guys and,
for sure.
and that kind of thing. And you know, this scripture that you just read is not that.
So what do we think he means by quiet? Like what? Because there may be, there's a couple things that it doesn't mean. I think we could safely say because of other scriptures.
Yeah.
But like, what do you think Paul is getting at by using the word quiet, which actually just means quiet or peaceable, right? Peacefully.
Well, elsewhere he talks about as far as is up to you to live at peace with everyone. And there are things that doesn't mean, right?
Yes.
But at the end of the day, you know, the Christian, we ought to strive as much as we can to get along with people. I mean, we have truth that we stand on and convictions that we stand for.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, our job as Christians is not to drive people away. It's to point people to Christ. And one of the ways that we do that is, as far as it's up to us, living peaceably among people.
I think this is one of those things that's hidden a lot of times in emphasis of testimony. When it comes to the church's testimony, when it comes to the Christian's testimony, we I think are inundated with this thought that we got to go out and be so bold, and we should be bold with the gospel in the right ways, and we got to be so loud, and we got to we almost need to, like, if you're not being persecuted because people don't know where you stand with Jesus, like, you're not doing enough, right? Yeah. And yet he closes this section by saying, so that, like, this is why you should aspire to live quietly and work with your hands and so forth, so that you may walk properly before outsiders. So he's actually saying, like, there's a validity in us treating outsiders well and not just walking around and stirring unnecessary pots, right?
Yeah. Okay. I would think, like, the extremes of this, you've got people that are closet Christians that they don't ever want to be seen or heard. They just want to kind of hide in the shadows and not let anybody know that, you know.
Right.
And that's
not good.
That's not good. And then you've got megaphone Christianity, you know, this idea where you just you put your soapbox up on the street corner and you're just shouting at people that are walking by, you know, turn or burn kind of stuff. That's, again, like, okay, that's kind of extreme.
Yes.
And I think,
not good either.
The idea of making much of yourself, or self-promotion or that kind of thing.
Oh, that's what we're all about now, yeah.
But I think this is what he's really talking about. He's not talking about us making much of Christ.
Agreed.
We are to make much of Christ. We should be that should come out
that's
of
one
us.
One of those things we shouldn't be quiet about.
Correct.
And we'll come back around to
and
that.
Even righteousness and things like that. But when it comes to this idea of the spotlight on us, I think, I don't know. That, to me, is a problem.
Or even, because it's in the context even of working with your own hands and minding your own affairs. So gossiping and the outside world seeing Christians backbite each other or, you know, stir up strife in people's lives or not being responsible by working with our own hands, constantly looking for handouts and relying on other people to do for us what we should be doing for ourselves. Like, those are all tainted testimonies that he's talking about.
Sure.
So quiet's not just words or what we say or what we don't say, but it's also that we're simply taking care of ourselves and not walking around and creating issues for others. Right.
Yeah, and I would say this isn't just, we can't just think of this as on an individual basis, and we need to think about the church. The church should be loud in a community in one sense.
Yeah.
You know, I think we have a pretty good testimony in our communities. We're known as a church that loves and that cares for people.
Which is harder in a smaller community. The smaller community it is, the more that church better be on their A game.
Yep. Yeah. And we're not just quiet and not, you know, minding our own business in the sense that we're making a difference in the community.
Yes.
So we're loud in that sense, I guess, maybe, or not loud might be the right word, but there are other churches that are loud for all the wrong reasons.
Yes. Yeah.
They're attracting all kinds of attention, but it's just, Yeah.
Totally agree.
Not helping our testimony much.
Yeah, I have a little, it's funny that what you mentioned, I'm going to pat myself on the back. I have a little book of quotes that once in a while when I come across something in my brain that I want to remember for future use, I'll like write it down. And one of them was, some people would do better to step towards a street corner, some Christians, and others would do good to step away. Hmm. And that's the point of it.
Yeah.
Is that there's some people that need to come out of the closet and not be ashamed of Christ in front of others. And then there's other people that need to learn how to shut up.
Yep.
Because they don't know how to do it right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, there's personalities that just love a fight. They love they love to argue with people. They love to win.
Yeah.
And love to almost humiliate and, you know, berate other people.
It's not a sweet smelling aroma, right? When you hear it or smell it. No.
And it wouldn't just be in regards to the gospel. It would be that would manifest.
Is there anyone that comes to mind, Brent? You have a couple of people that come to mind?
Maybe.
I saw a thing in my feed this last week in light of, you know, knowing that we were going to be talking about this topic of a person who is a musician in the church, and they've been a missionary, you know, for a long time and overseas, and now they're back in America, and they put this GoFundMe together for this person to buy a $3,500 guitar because they need that to continue to adequately lead worship in the church.
Agreed.
And I just was thinking about this discussion. It's like, that, what does that say to the world about, you know, Christians?
Right.
And then like they made the goal. People, you know, gave money, and that kind of blew me. It kind of blew me away that the ask was out there, and then it kind of blew me away that people met the need.
Yeah.
You know, like that, and it just, like, it, I don't know, it just seemed like that was not quiet.
Yeah.
Not leading a quiet life.
Yeah, it's an odd testimony.
Yeah.
If you got outsiders looking in at something like that, or guys like McDonald, or just said a name, that, like, go out and, you know, that go out and spend $1,000 or $2,000 on a shirt that they preach in or something like that.
A really ugly sweater.
A really ugly pink.
Pink.
Yeah.
Pink. Yeah.
I wouldn't have worn that if he'd have paid me what he bought it for.
Right.
I mean, I'd be really? Like, no. Gosh,
You wouldn't have preached in that for $1,000?
No.
What's wrong with you, dude?
Yeah. If your pastor wears a pink sweater, just, just leave.
Call me insecure, whatever you want, but no.
Let's jump to another one. Let's go 1 Timothy 2, because what you do is you start to just see this pattern, and this encouragement by Paul to the churches, like, sprinkled everywhere, if you're paying attention to it, right? So we have 1 Timothy 2, pretty well-known passage. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. There's the word, quiet. Godly and dignified in every way. And this is before, like, head honchos.
Yeah.
Like, people over us that may not even be good people over us, right? Crazy. He goes on to say, verse 3, this is good, and it is pleasing that we live peaceful and quiet before them in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people, obviously all kinds of people, even people in high places and kings, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. So what, in this context, does living a quiet life or a peaceful life for the Christian accomplish or do?
Well, you know what's not listed there?
Let's go with that. What is this?
Yeah. Defy tyrants is not listed there.
Defy tyrants is not listed there.
It's not listed there.
I think right now you can see.
Pull out your sword.
Get those people out of office.
Cut their ears off.
It's not listed there.
Chad, you've been waiting to say that, haven't you?
I think we're living at a time when you see people protesting things, that when they get upset about stuff, and so they go to the streets, they get loud, they have signs.
Storm the Capitol?
It's got a violent nature about it. Storm the Capitol also? Yeah. No, it's got a violent nature about it. Like, you know, we're not going to take it anymore.
We're not going to take it.
Yeah. We're not going to take it.
With the hockey mask. Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for that, dude.
You're welcome.
But when you see,
you're the one who said it.
Well, I didn't say it. I didn't sing.
That was my first ever heavy metal album.
Twisted Sister?
No. Oh, no, that was Twisted Sister. No, I'm sorry. I'm going Quiet Riot.
Whew.
I'm going Quiet Riot.
Yeah.
You're right. That was Twisted Sister.
Come on, feel the noise.
You know what? Go back to clean, wholesome thought.
Yeah. When you picture those protests, you're picturing kind of this anger, this violence, this you know, we're not going to take it kind of a mindset. And when you hear this, he's saying pray.
Yes.
Pray for things.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified
before them
in
under
every
them,
way.
Yeah.
So there's a way for us to do this. Where
it's not just a good idea; it's pleasing to God.
Yeah, right? And again, the idea of the prayers and the supplications for all these people, for you know, you're seeing the problems,
yes.
You're seeing the need, yes. You're seeing that things need to change and that people are ungodly. And so he's saying there's a way to do this that's godly and dignified,
yes. Even effective, yes.
That doesn't look like what the world is doing.
Very good.
Right.
Or doesn't accomplish what our flesh desires to accomplish through it. There's a gratification that goes on with us responding like the world does, right? Like, oh, justice needs to be served, and right. I'm going to be the person to drop the mic on this person.
Yeah.
And then we just end up looking so stupid right. as Christians, as followers
well,
of Christ.
Well, something that Paul reminds us of here, too, is that those tyrants that you're trying to defy, God desires that they would come to a knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that should tell us something about defying tyrants.
Exactly.
God desires that person that rubs you the wrong way or that you even hate, he desires that they would be saved.
Exactly.
Well, and even the idea that, you know, he ties us into people coming to know the Lord.
Yeah.
Like you're saying.
Yeah.
It almost gives the indication that it's probably going to be more effective if we're doing it in this dignified, yes. godly, peaceful way,
yes.
right. than if we're doing it in a, you know, yelling at people,
yes.
screaming at them,
yeah.
Demanding, you know, this righteous change or yes. whatever indignation that we
yeah.
have, you know, it's just an ugly way to go about it.
Yeah.
And I think there's, if we're relying on ourselves, like if we think we're the ones that are going to win the day,
right.
Maybe that's why people employ this strategy. It's like, it's up to me. I better get fired up and go out there and start
right.
taking heads.
Right.
But if we really do think that, you know, the first step is to pray to God that he might be involved in this.
Yes. And then to not retaliate the
yeah.
way that the non-believer would expect us to
right.
retaliate.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's really what we're seeing here.
I agree.
As
absolutely.
Far as a testimony, is it these people, like, I know they disagree with me. I know that they're challenged by me. I treat them like garbage, yet they don't respond in a way that we expect that they should respond. They're just killing us with kindness, you know.
Well, and there's a way to talk about things that are wrong to people.
Oh, totally.
Doing it in a peaceful, quiet way that's dignified
yes.
and godly.
Yeah. Right. And you can stand up for what's right and
can.
For righteousness and holiness yeah. while being peaceable, prayerful,
right.
quiet.
It's like a lost art.
A testimony.
Yeah. While maintaining a testimony.
It's like a lost art, though. People don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
We think we have to do it in a very ugly,
yeah.
Confrontive, I don't know. It's kind of weird where we've gotten to.
Yeah. yeah.
Even just the way we are on social media and it just baffles me to see how much ugliness, Christian and non-Christian alike,
no, totally.
That exists on this. I mean, somebody can make the most innocent statement in the world and people are just going to tear them apart.
So we're going to come back to this because I think this is the biggest like kryptonite to the church's testimony is social media and what Christians are doing. How Christians
yeah.
are using social media, because they are, again, just everyone's wanting a mic drop. At, like, Christians think they're being bold by performing hit and runs or drive-bys, by
yeah.
posting this really harsh thing to this certain group of people, and then, like, you know, and now they go on about their day and get off the keyboard, and it's like that. For, like, there's a multitude of like problems
right.
With Christians doing things like that. Okay, there's one more I want to look at. That's just a page over in actually chapter 3. This one comes in a weird place because it's qualifications for overseers, and I think there's one of them when I started looking at this that I've never paid a lot of attention to, and it's the one that we're going to pay attention to today. So he goes through the whole list, of course. If someone aspires the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, and then we have kind of the qualifications, an overseer must be above reproach, husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectful, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. That's a whole another
skip
podcast.
Skip ahead, brother.
Yeah, let's keep going. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? That's a good question. 6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. And then finally, the last one is the one that I think I've paid attention to the least. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there's not a word in there that's called quiet. It doesn't say quiet, but you get the same idea. What Paul's getting across here with outsiders is the idea of a quiet or peaceable life with the way that you have engaged and interacted with the outside world.
Right.
That matters. I think a lot of times we look at, I've heard people talk about how great their pastor is because he preaches open carrying, and that's right. That's what a real pastor does. You know what I mean? And it's like, or my pastor's gone out and done this loud thing and riled up this group and riled up that group, not necessarily for the gospel. And here we have something that maybe looks a little different.
Well, I would say there is actually some things here to consider. You know, self-control, respectable.
Yep.
Not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome. Those are all, you know, those character. Are all characters.
It's that, all characters.
Yeah. But that those are quiet characteristics. They're quiet, not loud. Right. They're not bold. So I would say it falls
There's
right
in line.
A lot
of quarrelsome Christians out there these
days.
No doubt. Yeah, trying to stir it up.
No, we like it. We look for it. And again, we have platforms now and arteries now into like the mainstream and large amounts of people that allow us to be really brave. And to be really bold, but in all the wrong ways and for the wrong reasons, right?
Right.
So
I think it's important to point out too this passage that we just read is about pastors or elders in the church. But I did a sermon on it years ago. All of these things that they're calling elders and pastors to are all Christians are called to in other places in the scriptures.
Yep.
So pastors need to meet this list of qualifications, generally speaking, in order to be qualified.
Yes.
But every Christian is called to these things.
No, we're all called to strive for these things,
right.
But the one who actually possesses the office needs to walk in these things.
Correct.
Yeah. And it's a bit of an art to engage the world while standing on conviction and truth and at the same time, you know, saying the things that need to be said in a way that, you know, causes people to respect you in a way that's dignified, in a way that doesn't stir the pot. Like, there's a bit of a needle to thread there.
It's an art. It really is. It's a dance. It's something that we need to be prayerful over.
Absolutely.
And thoughtful with, right? Yeah. It's not.
Because I think people's fear is that if we're not, you know, harsh or if we're not loud, that it's some sort of compromise.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I think if we look at, you know, the way Jesus interacted with people, you know, he loved people perfectly, gave people perfectly the truth.
Yeah.
And we would do well to learn from that.
Well, Paul, like I remember, I think it's at the end of, it's either Ephesians or Colossians where he's in jail, he's writing from jail, and he asks for prayer at the end of the letter. And that's what he asks for the congregation to pray for him.
Yeah.
It's not that he would like be let out of jail and they would have mercy on him, but like that a door would be open that I may share the gospel with these people in here, the guards, the warden, the people that are like making his life miserable while he's in captivity. And then he says in there, pray that God may give me the words how I ought to speak.
Yep.
So he's thoughtful. He's considering how to thread the needle on the gospel while maintaining all the characteristics of a gospel carrier.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, you know, like I've learned from you guys in that way a lot. I think, you know, you guys just have a way that's been helpful to me to see you interact with people. And I just, the number of things are running through my head right now, just encounters that we've had around fire pits with people, you know, out in public. And I think you guys do a good job of that. And it's been helpful for me to just kind of observe that. And it's helped me to do more of the same.
Well, praise God.
I appreciate that about you guys.
I do think it's something that I've been convicted on in the past because I wasn't always that way. I'm definitely more of a, like, you just go, you know, pull the trigger, call the ambulance later. You know what I mean? Type of thing. Like, I'll clean it up later. I'll put the fire out later. I've always been kind of straight shooter.
Yeah.
And just say what I think. But I've been really convicted in these things over the years as I've grown in my Christian walk that this, like, matters so much. Like, it's so important how we do, not just that we share the gospel, but how we share the gospel,
right.
matters. How I live, next to sharing the gospel matters.
Absolutely.
You know?
So I think the knock would be, or the devil's advocate position in this idea of living, you know, quietly or being thought well.
Are you running ahead, Brent?
I don't know.
You want to bring up? Go ahead.
Well, the idea of being thought well of by outsiders
is
that we're going to start to compromise everything.
Right. That's what I mean by woke, is that we might, that people could then say, oh, you're a woke Christian.
Well, and there are churches, there are Christians that are doing this right
now.
There are absolutely, you know, we've been accused of it, I think, but I don't think it's accurate. I mean, I think we need to be, you know, circumspect and think about what we're saying and doing sometimes. But the idea that we do this but not compromise, so there's a way to live godly and righteous in the world, where we're just like you were talking about, like, the way Jesus did. He didn't compromise on any truth,
right?
And yet, he was, you know, in general, thought well of by outsiders. Totally. Not the Pharisees and the Sadducees, not the religious
not
leaders.
Not the religious outsiders.
Not the people
outsiders.
That were threatened
right.
by them.
Yes.
But in general, like...
Well, even Pilate was struggling to actually carry yeah. out what needed to be carried out, because he kind of liked Jesus too, kind of.
He found no fault in him. He's right, like, you're a good dude. You're
yeah.
not, you know, yeah.
Like, tell me what you did, dude. Like, yeah. help me out. Help yourself yeah. out. Right?
So I guess that's the point I'm getting at, is that yeah. we want to be like... Hopefully people respect us, and when they find out, you know, who we are, they're not going to agree with us.
No.
That's not what this is talking about. They're
Correct.
Probably going to hate some of the things we believe
right.
and not agree with us, but they hopefully will, you know, at the end of the day, see our good works and glorify our God, our Father
sure.
who's in heaven.
Yeah, for sure. I think what a lot of Christians don't realize is that living the way that the Bible prescribes us to live gives us far more of a platform with people than, you know, if we're out there on the front lines trying to defy the tyrants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When we live a respectable, dignified, quiet
yes.
life, that gives us, I think, more of a platform
yes.
for people to engage. And even if they don't agree, like, they'll listen to what we have to say by and large.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally does. So since we're on this, that was one of the next questions. What are some of the arguments, maybe, or objections that Christians might have or make in regards to living peaceably and quietly before others? Because obviously there's an extreme to everything,
right?
Right. And so it could be that we don't ever do anything that might rock the boat. We don't ever
right.
say anything that might confront somebody with Jesus directly and repentance directly and sin directly, right?
Yep.
We just keep our mouths closed. And that's how we keep from getting
yeah.
canceled by people, you know. So
yeah, and again, I think we're called to speak the truth in love,
right?
So there's never a point where we're not supposed to be honest about sin and be honest about
yep.
what's going on in the world
right.
and things like that. We can do that, but there's just a way to do it that's
yes.
that's loving.
Yes.
And if that's not your motivation, if you don't have a compassion for people and the sin that's in their life and the destination they're headed and
yeah.
all these kinds of things, it's going to come out in the way you treat them.
And that's detectable,
yeah.
right? That's what
Very
you're saying
much.
Is like if someone is just worried about, you know, saying what they want to say and not ultimately concerned with the object of who they're saying it to, like compassionately, that's going to be known.
Yeah.
Well, and especially
And that's going to be an ineffective.
Pretty quickly known.
Especially
yeah.
if your motive is protecting something that's like really important to you,
yeah.
like the culture you live in,
yeah.
and the comfort that you're used to, and the,
totally.
The you know the society that you like. If that's your motivation, not their good and God's glory, it's going to come out in the way you
right.
treat people,
Easily.
In the way you, and it we're seeing it all around us.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Why does staying on that note? Why does some of what Christians consider persecution? Why does some of it not count?
Because they're jerks.
Being a jerk for like Jesus does not count
right, like it's
as
earned,
persecution.
Right? We earn it sometimes.
Yeah. Some people need to hear this,
yeah.
right? Because I've seen people
yeah.
literally brag, boast, get excited about an interaction that they should be utterly embarrassed
right.
over.
No,
because
if you can connect the dots to something you've done, like that, you're the reason for this.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
something you're doing. You've been a jerk,
yes.
and that's why this is happening to you, as opposed to just making a stand for what's true and what's right and then being persecuted for it. There's
yes.
a big difference in the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're right. Most people, like, I was on the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're like, we're being persecuted. It's like, quit going to people's doors
yeah.
on Saturday mornings.
yeah.
You know, it'll stop right away.
You just interrupted my dinner.
yeah.
yeah. Like, my favorite sitcom.
You're not suffering.
What are we doing? Yeah. What are, oh, go ahead, Jeff.
I just was going to say, I saw my Ring camera a couple Sundays back, some Jehovah's Witnesses came on a Sunday morning, which I'd never seen that happen. But, you know, I just thought it was interesting.
That is interesting.
Trying to catch the people that aren't in church.
They
you know?
Knew they or they knew yeah. you weren't there.
That's what I would.
But they could still log in
right.
that they went to that address.
I hadn't thought of that. Okay,
that's what's going on, Chad.
That's probably because I was a jerk the last time they came to the door.
Let's circle back. What are some of the
Are you listening to anything we're saying right now?
what are some of the ways Christians struggle to live quietly, or some of the reasons why Christians today struggle to live quietly before others?
Hmm.
And we can, you know, I mean, one of them is this thing called social media.
Right.
Like, there's just, if you have a thought and then an unction in that moment to get that out
right.
to the world, all you got to do is push a button.
Right.
You know, and
yeah.
it's, and we're doing,
and,
we're just.
And I think some people, like, I don't know if this is actually Mike Tyson, but I've seen it before, that, you know, you can say anything you want behind a keyboard because no one will punch you in the face.
Yeah, dude.
I've attributed that to Mike Tyson, but there's some truth to that. Like, there's no consequences, really, or the consequences are less to interact through a keyboard than it is face to face. And you say things online that you would never say, or have a persona online that you would never have, you know, in person with somebody. And so you have less skin in the game. And so it's easier to kind of be, you know, bold and loud.
Easy
and
proud, to be brave,
you know, in those moments.
And to not take every thought captive.
Right.
Because it doesn't really matter. It's not really consequence. And I think some Christians
feel good about, like, they feel like they're doing a good thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, oh, here's my platform to get it out there, right, you know, with little consequence.
Right.
It's just not
always helpful. I was thinking about just the urgency people feel right now to to say something.
Yeah.
You know, all it takes for, you know, evil to thrive is for good men to just, you know, sit there and do nothing.
For sure.
And I think there's people that are saying, you know, we're not going to sit there and do nothing anymore. We're going to
take it.
Yeah, we're going to stand up and say something. Well,
not quite right, Twisted Sister.
Anyway, so there's this urgency of like, I somebody needs to say something, and if we don't do it, you know, shame on us, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think that's completely wrong.
Right.
But I think it, you know, we have to be careful about what we're speaking up about, what we're not speaking up about.
We have to be really careful about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really careful about how we self-promote ourselves also through that same platform.
Right.
Because that's become heavy. In fact, I think maybe we'll close with Matt. I don't think I told you guys. Go to Matthew 6. We'll just read through this real quick and... So we've already established through...
Do your deeds not to be seen thing?
Yes. Yeah. Thessalonians, through Timothy, that testimony is at stake, right? By living a quiet, peaceable life, that also is gospel effective, gospel conducive. It actually girds up the gospel that we preach is by how we live quietly, peaceably. But then there's another side of it, too, of living quietly. Then that is the reality that we believe what we say we believe, that we have a real present relationship with a God who sees us and knows us, and that there's active worship going on, and there's active interaction going on with Him. Like, forget others for a minute, like with Him first, right? And so this is another place where we really struggle with not being quiet, and the Bible tells us you'd do good to be quiet. Jesus says, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, we also don't believe, like, we don't see God as the answer.
No.
And that's where people are, they're pointing people in all these different directions for the answer.
For
the answer's over here in this party of, you know, politics, or the answer's over here in this individual over here. And at some point, if we're not trusting in our sovereign God, it doesn't mean we don't do anything.
Right.
But that's where I see so many people that don't seem to be really trusting in Him.
Right? No, totally. Sorry. Totally.
Yeah.
I'll read through this real quick, just the first six verses, and we'll kind of close with this thought, which was pretty convicting to me.
Yeah.
Beware, he says, of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others. There's the motive. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. That's all they get.
Yeah.
But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I just see quiet, quiet, quiet relationship with God.
Yep.
And that's another, I don't know if anyone really does this anymore, was one of the questions that he asked, like,
Does any
Christian really live like this anymore? Because we're taking our phones, and every time we do something good or we have a God experience, we're clicking the button and then hitting send so that everybody else can see that we're just spent time in our word, or we just had a prayer session, or we're just posting all of our good deeds continually.
Right.
The thing he said in that sermon that just killed
me. There were a couple of them.
He said, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to confess our sins and keep our good deeds.
So be loud about that and quiet about
that. Yeah. And it's like, man, we're doing the opposite. We want everybody to know our good deeds, and we try to hide our sins.
Yes.
Yep.
And he talked about, like, at the end of your life, you know, your memorial service. Nowadays, we're afraid of what's going to come out.
Yeah.
You know, even people that we've looked up to, you know, they die and it's like, oh my goodness, what's going to come out?
Figures,
what's going to come out?
Yeah.
And what he's saying is, wouldn't it be cool if what came out was all of the good deeds, yes. all the stuff that you did in secret that nobody right, ever knew yes. about? You know, hey, they gave here and they did this and they helped these people.
Yep.
You know, my son-in-law, just his grandfather just had a funeral and sisters, and he said it was a couple hours long of people uh-huh. just coming out of the woodwork talking about who this guy was and how he served yeah. Christ and how he served his community. And it just didn't stop. It was just one person awesome. After another, stuff he didn't even know about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, man, that's pretty cool. Right, he yep, did yep. all this in secret.
Yep.
And, you know, not all of it, but
yeah.
most of it in secret. For sure. And yeah. And yeah. that's just, it's such a cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We're so quick to, and we have, again, like at our fingertips, it's such accessible, immediate ways to do it.
Yeah.
We're so into self-promotion. We're so into showing other people, like you said, our righteousness. Oh, look how I'm doing with God. Look what I just did. Yeah. When the thing we should be loud about with each other is confession of sin.
Yeah.
not what we've done well, but what we're struggling in
yeah.
and we need prayer in and we need encouragement in. And you don't see anyone posting on that page. You right. know what I mean?
Well, and what a testimony.
The sin page, the confession
testimony.
Page.
Think about what that would do to our testimony to the outside world.
Crazy.
If instead of just seeing self-righteous hypocrites,
yeah.
they saw people who were acknowledging their faults
yes.
and acknowledging how rude they are to people and acknowledging.
Who are honestly humble
yeah,
and broken.
And bothered by
yes,
it and looking to Christ as the answer. The answer to these things that are wrong in me
yes.
is over here. And this is where my forgiveness is. And this yes. is where my healing comes from.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, such a difference.
Well, one of the things that he brought out at the end of that sermon too in regards to like this text is that I think that we tend to think that if we have a God experience or a God moment, that that's something that needs mm-hmm. to be shared. And we can find verses for that. There are promotions in here of us sharing the works of God
right.
that he may be glorified. Right.
Right.
And yet there's a bad way of doing that. He brings up a couple examples. One of them was, you know, like John, when he was in the spirit, getting the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 10 of Revelation, you have the seven thunders thundered something. They said something. And then God's like, you can't share
yeah,
that.
He's
with
about
anybody.
To write it
don't
down.
Write it down.
So, yeah, don't
like,
write
don't
down.
Post that. Right. and John is the only human being on earth that heard what those seven thunders said. Nobody else ever knew. He had to hold that to himself. And how that's okay. Right. Even have Paul, you know, who, you know, where is it? 2 Corinthians 11, whatever. Knew yeah. a dude that went to the, got up to the third heaven, basically yeah. died and came back and couldn't even, you know, wasn't even going to
yeah.
begin
yeah.
to try to describe like what he saw, what
right.
he experienced.
He didn't write a book about it and go on tour to promote the book.
No. And then he even, and then what was interesting is he even brought up like the life of Jesus. So here's God come to earth as man, the creator of all things. And for the majority of Jesus's life, we have no idea what he was doing or what
right.
it looked like.
Right.
Right. So like at 23 years old, what was he doing? You know, building things.
So, right.
We assume, you know, what was he doing at 25, at 28, building things.
Probably building things a little better.
Right. like this is God, and we have, like, no, like, connecting right. history, like, no full history of what he was doing. He lived, in many ways, a quiet life.
Yeah.
And then he even talks about the way that, like, Jesus a lot of times didn't seek crowds or bigger crowds, but actually more than not
yeah.
escaped
tried
crowds. He was
right.
like living quietly, going to quiet places to pray and to do what he was doing. So it's just really interesting when you start to consider, it helps me rearrange my thoughts a little bit
sure.
or perceptions that I've had that have just been false perceptions of what the victorious and loud Christian life looks like. That this
right.
is actually a loud Christian life
yeah.
when we start applying some of this. So,
well, that's one of the other things I really liked about his sermon is he starts out by talking about he's on a stage talking to a huge group of people, and he says, this is such a dangerous place
this
to be.
This is a dangerous place.
Right. Because I feel like every time I come up here, it's like I'm drinking a little bit of poison.
Yeah.
Because it is, you know, for us to, as pastors, we're
totally.
Up on stage, we have all these people that are there.
Yep.
And it's so easy to be self-promoting.
Yes.
And, yeah, I think each one of us, and I appreciate it about our church and about you guys is we really do want Jesus
we
to
really
be
yep.
the star of the
yep.
show.
Star. And, once we get the wiggles out, once we get the awkwardness out,
yeah,
then we want Jesus to be the star of the show.
Yeah.
yeah.
You can't help it, you know, you're going to still be there. You
yeah.
know, your personality comes out and things like that.
Right.
But to be able to make, you know, him the hero and the
totally.
Rock star and us to, you know, to decrease and fade into the background is what we want to do.
Yes.
Right on.
So, yeah.
So bottom line, we're done, basically. What was kind of the biggest takeaway for you in looking at this or listening to the sermon or whatever?
Yeah, I think just what I said earlier is that, you know, we gain much more of a platform when we live respectably and charitably and kind and and all that. And again, it's a bit of a needle to thread to you know, speak truth and to do so in a kind and charitable way, but it can be done. And that gains us much more of a platform than the other way.
Have I ever told you guys, by the way, how rad it is that you don't post on social media? That's one of the things I love about you. I'm happy to call you friends because you don't post anything on social media.
Yeah.
Because there are pastors out there that are that are not doing what we just read in you know, chapter 6 of Matthew, of like those things, those God things, being quiet. They're very, like everybody knows every step of their progress.
Right.
And that which they're building and that which is going on. And I don't think they all mean it that way, but it's ugly.
Sure.
It's kind of ugly to see when everything has to be posted that they're accomplishing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think pastors should learn this first. Live quietly. Keep some stuff to yourself and your congregation, you know. So, I don't know. Anyway.
I would say for the Christian that's listening that maybe has some angst over the way things are today and the things that are going on around them in the world and trying to find, you know, what are we supposed to do about this as Christians? To me, I think some of the things we looked at here as far as committing these things to prayer, turning these over to the sovereign Lord, you know, who actually can affect these things. Living a godly and dignified life.
Like being a good citizen.
Yeah. Being a good citizen.
Not an ultra-divisive one.
Yep.
Right.
And then also, like we already said, being vocal about things.
Yes.
Being vocal about righteousness. God does want us to talk about righteousness and sin. And so when it comes to, there's cultural and social
issues. But at the right time and in the right way.
Yeah. It's okay for us to make a stand on marriage. It's okay for us to take a stand on, you know, the sanctity of life and these things as Christians. If we're being silent about these things, we're
cowards.
We're in sin.
Right.
We're cowards.
Yeah, right.
And yet, gosh, the way we go about it just matters.
It does.
And there's some things that are biblical things, and we need to be vocal about these. And there's some things that are cultural things that maybe we've created some idols that we're not aware of. And
sure.
And maybe we don't need to be as vocal about those things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't need I think that's maybe the biggest thing is that we have an idea that we got to be like Peter. I mean, I know that example is a bad one, but, you know, cut off the ear of the Roman soldier right when the authorities are not being kind to us. That's what I see in most Christians today.
Right.
They have this ear. They have this violent, you know, thing.
Well,
to
almost
them.
Like they had to step into the place of God.
Totally.
Like, hey, let me. I got this guy.
Totally.
Let me take it.
Totally.
I'll resolve this. Dude,
and what I've learned in this is that the church is going to be more effective if it looks more like Jesus in that context,
correct.
Where he puts the ear back on, right? And it doesn't mean that he agreed with everything they were doing, but that we can be good citizens and live quiet, peaceable lives while being truth, you know,
speaking
truth. Yeah, truth tellers at the same time. So, all right, good. Hopefully that was helpful. I really enjoyed it. So, I mean, not this, but the sermon.
Yeah.
You didn't enjoy this?
No. Is it? No, this kind of stank.
What are you saying here?
Whatever. Someone pray.
Lord, thanks for this day. Thanks for just for saving us and for loving us and for giving us the opportunity to be kind of a little beacon of hope and in the communities that we're a part of. We pray that you'd give us more opportunities, that the people that come to church here would want to be very loud in one sense about who you are and what you've done for them, Lord. We have hope, and we want to kind of shout that from the mountaintops, but there's so many things that we're loud about, that especially when it's self-promotion, that we don't need to be. Mm. And so give us wisdom to know, you know, when to be quiet and when to be bold, and help us to trust in you through the whole thing, Lord, knowing that you are the God who can affect change in the hearts of the people around us. You are the one that we can look to and trust in for even the things that are going on in our world and our culture. So help us not to run around like we're just freaking out about every little thing, Lord, but to truly pray and trust you and hopefully be beacons of hope for those that need it. We ask that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Yeah, rest on that. Yeah. Stick your head on that.
That's a good ending.
Okay, good. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to One Decent Pastor. If you'd like more information about the church, go to our website at thedoor3r.org.